My name is Earl Grey, and I never listen to, what's the name of your show?
Welcome to Let's Talk About Treks, an episodic review of today's Visions of the Future featuring Earl Grey and Jack DeReno. Welcome, everyone. My name is Jack DeReno, and I'm typically joined by my co-host, Earl Grey. And then together, we are Let's Talk About Treks, which is a podcast that's about Star Trek, but also has another show attached to it called Segment 31. That's the show on Patreon where Earl and I, instead of discussing a particular Star Trek episode, get to talk about a topic of our choice or a topic that's on our minds or a topic that's prescient for the times. This past weekend, Earl and I released 5 episodes of Segment 31. That's episodes 46 through 50. Those were recorded over the course of about a month and a half, but we just never really got around to getting them out. So I went ahead and got them all out for our Patreon listeners this week. And by the way, Segment 31, I don't know if I mentioned it previously, is a show that's on Patreon. We've gone through every single episode of Star Trek that's been produced since the very first episode of Star Trek Discovery in 2017. So this includes short treks and very short treks, which we just finished our run of. So that leaves us with sort of a gap this week. So just before the start of Strange New Worlds Season 3, we're going to talk about Segment 31. Episode 46 is the first in a series that's about time travel. Here's a tiny little bit of a taste of Segment 31, Episode 46, Time Travel, Part 1.
How many time crystals are there on this planet? Like, it seemed like when we went down there, it seemed like there was like a field of them.
There certainly was a whole lot of them, yeah.
Make sure we take care of that planet. We don't want that planet to explode and blow time crystals in every direction.
Yeah.
Watch them. Don't let them mine it. They're not good at it. They'll blow up moons. Good practice. No mining the time crystals.
I think a lot of times when, like in particular the time when we got introduced to the concept of temple investigations, mm-hmm. they were so tired of hearing about predestination paradoxes.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the reasons why none of these are prevented or stopped mm-hmm. is because these are supposed to happen because they're supposed to work out that way, that certain events happened. They turned out to be time travel events. And like the Little Green Men in DS9, that was a time travel episode. And it turned out that the Roswell crash was the Ferengi shuttle.
Sure enough.
You know, and Rom, Quark, and Nog were all the bodies that were recovered.
Yeah. The Red Angel went all over the place. Yeah. Just traveling all over from time and space.
Yep.
Nobody said anything about that. I wonder if that suit really blew up. You think somebody grabbed it before it blew up?
That certainly would be a reasonable way to get it back in if they needed it as a plot device.
Our friend Earl Grey, who's on vacation, likes to go to community events, especially community events that involve the word free, which I appreciate about Earl. I also like events that have the word free in them. This year, Earl has gone to Free Comic Book Day 2025 and also Free RPG Day 2025. This is the second time Earl's told us about Free Comic Book Day, the first being in 2024. So this entails a little bit of a conversation about Hasbro, and we really went into Hasbro for a long time for some reason. It's a little obsession about Care Bears, I think. That's special and important. Also, there might be another mention of another science fiction series. Here's a little bit of Free Comic Book Day 2025, Segment 31, Episode 47.
Yeah, it's a crossover. See, they're both owned by Hasbro.
Mm-hmm. This makes sense.
And apparently Image currently owns the license to doing Hasbro properties.
What else does Hasbro own? That's interesting. Do they own? No, He-Man is Mattel.
Yeah. So they own Power Rangers.
Okay. That makes sense, being in the same book.
My Little Pony.
Okay. Sure. I've seen Transformers My Little Pony before.
I think Hasbro currently holds the Star Wars license for Star Wars toys.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they've had that forever. Do they own the Care Bears? I'd like to see a live action Care Bear movie.
I think they have. They do, yeah.
Yeah, they should definitely do a live action Care Bear movie. Sort of like Cats, only like worse. The bears should definitely have buttholes. Do not erase them. They need the bear bear holes. Are there belly buttons on the little symbols that they have on their? Do they also have belly buttons? Or
they might.
I would like to see ripped. I would like to see a live action ripped Care Bear who's like the symbol is just on his abs. It's just like a rippling symbol. That's what I want to see from our live action Care Bears movie. It'd be awesome.
Maybe whose friendship power is the power of nationality? So then the flag is waving.
Sure. I don't. Yes. I don't know where we are, but please we're on Hotel Masbro. I mean, Hasbro. What's it called? Hasbro. Mattel. Hasbro. By Minden. Sorry. It's like I'm channeling Robin Williams today. I apologize. You know what I would like, shut up sometimes?
What about shut up?
I don't know.
Are you asking me to tell you to shut up?
Yeah.
Put my foot down and like assert my dominance. This is my episode, sir. You're taking over.
How's that going for you?
I have no idea.
Okay. Yes. Did we talk about number four?
Yes, we did. Just briefly. Energon Universe.
Oh, yes. Tell me more. I'm sorry for interrupting you. This is the G.I. Joe transfer. Yeah. So who goes into which universe, or do they end up in a third, or do the universes merge?
I think they just are together.
Mm.
I mean, the Transformers often end up on Earth, especially in the Bayverse. Yeah. You know, they're just on Earth in the modern day. And
yeah, but they also do go to Cybertron. Like, there's like an acknowledgement of they're not from here.
Yeah.
I always thought it would be cool if we made Transformers. Like, what if you know, like, we could do, like, a reboot, like they did with Battlestar Galactica, where, like, originally the Cylons had come from this lizard species that they were fighting. Would it be cool, like, if the Transformers this time came from people? Like, what if we put people in the Transformers? Like, we built Transformers and, like, just uploaded someone's brain in there? And then, like, the ones that, like, and, like, some just went bad because, like, the brain just didn't work right. Like, it just, the transfer made them all evil.
You, sir, would enjoy Transformers 1.
Oh, okay.
It talks about why they go bad. Decepticons.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe like they're all in one place, like this one unit of Transformers, and then like something horrible happens. And
yeah, I hear you. That would certainly be a cool idea. Like we invented the Terminators, you know.
Yes.
Except not.
Yeah.
Some of them are good, and we accidentally upload Republicans into the other half.
That's what I'm, I had that thought, but I was like, don't say that. That sounds stupid. But
oh, okay.
No. I didn't mean it like you sound. Never mind. I don't. I admire your confidence, and I'm glad that you had the temerity to say it. I couldn't.
The courage to say it out loud.
Yes. If I barely. Only. Yes. That's a scarecrow. Was there more? Yes.
Yeah, there can be. Yeah.
Energon World. Is the world called Energon World? Oh, no. What's it called?
Energon Universe.
Oh, it's the universe. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, it takes place on what looks like Earth, or at least the Earth of G.I. Joe.
You know, G.I. Joe doesn't necessarily, I was thinking about this, G.I. Joe doesn't necessarily happen to take place on Earth.
Oh.
I mean, like, unless they mention specifically at some point we are on Earth, then it could be anywhere. Like, there are planets in Star Trek that have modeled themselves after, you know, past America, you know, for example. So G.I. Joe doesn't necessarily have to happen on Earth. I can't help but acknowledge that through segment 31, we've sort of followed the sort of difficult year that Earl has had among his YouTube family. And he's been kind enough to tell us all about it and share some of his world with us. There was an incident of cyberbullying that took a very hard left turn. And in episode 48 of segment 31, Earl told us all about it. He also gives a few YouTube recommendations in here. So here's a little bit of segment 31, episode 48, cyberbullying.
This is segment 31.
So what are some other channels that we might be expecting some tragic news from you with early at some point in the near future? What other things are you enjoying watching right now is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Okay.
Just in a morbid way.
I enjoy Casually Comics. It's a female comic book fan and from Canada. Her name is Sasha. I don't remember her last name or if she's ever released it. She does reviews of a lot of older stuff, but she also reviews modern stuff as well.
Okay.
I enjoy her because she's one of the few comic influencers that's not another man living in their grandma's basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Like the comic book guy on The Simpsons.
Man living in grandmother's basement.
I mean, that they're not all that, and in fact, most of them aren't. But most of them are male and Caucasian.
Yeah, we're only down with Caucasian males who live in Uncle Sam's basement.
I think I get what you're talking about. I also enjoy LGR, Lazy Game Reviews. Recently lost his house he lives in North Carolina. He recently lost the house during the hurricane last year when a tree fell on his house. Thankfully, he's been able to he had insurance, so he's rebuilding his house. Okay. And he's been able to have a rental space where he can continue to make videos. He did just a review of a side panel sliding open handheld video game machine that does a lot of emulating with ROMs and stuff.
Okay. Hey, I'm curious, how much time per day, how much per diem do you think you spend watching YouTube videos about people, the stuff people do? You know, like the Fox videos or the Let's Go Outside and Do Something video or the...
Yeah,
run around with the dogs in the park videos.
Those particular types of videos I don't watch a whole lot. I try to maybe filter my stuff to more like informative videos, science communication, and maybe some comic book communication. I do watch, say, like Legal Eagle. He does legal breakdowns of especially local current news stories.
Uh-huh.
And he gives me a little bit of digest better of what's going on, because then that way I can get a filter rather than all the hype and all the hubbub and stuff going on and all the sensationalizing. I can say, okay, well, Legal says there is still light at the end of the tunnel. So I don't have to lose all hope about Trump bombed Iran and didn't tell Congress.
Yeah.
You know. So I try to follow those. I follow a lot of YouTube channels that also happen to have a presence on the streaming service Nebula, which I mean, I'd love to get a subscription for that. To do a small plug for them, you can get a $300 lifetime membership with them. They do a lot of positive kind of creating documentary, mini documentary videos from a lot of creators all over YouTube. I watch movie reviews. I watch some music creator artists on YouTube.
Okay.
Overall,
anything exciting for somebody to look up that they might be interesting? Because, you know, we are all stuck in our own little YouTube algorithms. Like, if you've had YouTube for a while and if you've watched a few things on YouTube, you sort of like you're in this particular bubble. Sort of like how they depict the bubbles of the multiverses. Sort of like collecting all together and bouncing around. Yeah. So, like, you're kind of stuck in your own YouTube multiverse and everybody has their own.
Yeah.
Like YouTube multiverse. So it's interesting to find something that exists in someone else's multiverse. And it's maybe that'll open up your multiverse to additional things.
It's interesting because my friend Aaron and I, we share a lot of the same channels, but I watch Joe Scott. He does random interesting videos on random topics.
We have not yet quite landed the plane of time travel, but we have done part two of our time travel series. There's a little bit of a talk about allegiances in here, and there's a difference between a temporal war and a time war and a temporal cold war, and I think that difference might just be a TARDIS. Because Doctor Who has a time war, but Star Trek has a temporal. Are they the same war? If you make enough changes in your universe, does your universe maybe become the other one? Are they in the same multiverse? That's the question. Listen, here's a little bit of segment 31, episode 49, Time Travel, part 2. Sarah now is who I'm talking about. Just because she's Romulan, does that mean that she's on the wrong side? Because T'Lyn was on the other side as well. I mean, was on our side, so to speak. So it's not like place of origin based.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do know that at some points it does seem like the Romulans do seem to be a part of one of the factions in the Temporal Cold Wars.
They do. There was a talk about how they tried to stop the development of Earth. But I wonder if that's because of something that they see in the future that we actually do that's not great.
Well, I mean, it just because some there could be more than one faction on each origin, like you were talking about
this
their
is
origins.
True as well. Yeah.
There could be two different factions on Romulus that are fighting for two different things.
That would make sense for Romulus, I think. Speaking of Romulus, there was a quality of mercy, which is the one when Pike gets to see a version of the future Romulan war that would erupt if he didn't transmogrify himself into Kirk and do that episode the way it was originally done. It was he himself who led him to make that correction. So a couple things. Why did older Pike take so long to correct it? Like, he was much older. Several years. Why wouldn't it have been like, you know, a little while later? Oh, war erupted. Better go back in time.
Yeah. So it could take a while to either acquire the technology to be able to do it or to realize where the splinter point was. If there's a war between, like, the Federation, Klingons, and Romulans, how are you going to get to Kronos to get a time crystal or grow one yourself?
Doesn't he have one in a box in his quarters? Pike?
Doesn't mean that he has that future Pike does. He could lose it.
Oh, I thought how he got back was he used the time crystal.
Oh.
But anyway, so I wonder if anybody sent him back or if he just, of his own volition, found a way back. Does anybody else have anything to do with this?
Well, season 3 is coming up.
Yep. There's a Time Amok from Prodigy. That was in season 1.
Yep.
And they split up across different time streams. And hologram Janeway had to put them back together, resync up the time streams.
Yeah.
And Wesley knows all about the project. How do you know he wasn't there?
How
do you know he didn't influence events? Yourself. So then there's a moral star, which was, you know, when the diviner time traveled to stop first contact.
Yes, with his own people.
Mm-hmm.
Or traveled forward?
Didn't he time travel back to stop? Or yeah, he time traveled back to stop first contact.
Right. Yeah. He was so far forward that he had to travel back, but it was even further forward from where we are familiar with in 2385.
The Watchers are definitely involved in this story. They sort of like prevented things from going astray, sort of. There's still some loose ends there.
Yeah. I think sometimes they're, I would imagine most of the time, they are probably tasked with just watching and making sure things happen the way they're supposed to happen. But just with a
emphasis on non-interference. Therefore, they only interfere when they absolutely have to. I mean, obviously, like the Prime Directive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Picard only absolutely interferes with the Mentakans when he absolutely have to.
Sure.
Which still got him in trouble.
Yeah. So the fact that the Federation continues, it exists in the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Lower Decks, Voyager, Discovery, mm-hmm. Prodigy, Enterprise, without any like big deviations. I mean, there was like mm-hmm. there's never been a time when they like changed as a structure, or uh-huh. maybe or split apart, or really anything like that. So yeah, yeah. I wonder if there's someone working to ensure that. It's a very long time
for
something like this to stand. It makes sense that by the 31st century it might have fallen apart.
Yeah.
But also, so if the burn made it fall apart and now they've mm-hmm. gotten warp drive back, what then happens again to bring us to craft time? Because they did ban time travel. Maybe the banning of time travel prevents people from being able to work together to ensure the continuity of the Federation. Finally, I'd like to congratulate Earl Grey on getting the topic for episode 50 of Segment 31. This is a little bit of Free RPG Day 2025.
This is Segment 31.
I need to leave you all out, you people. you people, not you people, but you people that are not me. I mean, not you people that, I mean, anyway, everyone joining us, all of our friends. Us people. We the people.
Describe who did that. So,
one
of the first things I got
was
from Ninth Level Games.
Okay.
They had their annual Level 1 release.
Ninth Level released Level 1.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're right, it kind of does. They released some short things from independent games. Just like one adventure kind of thing to get you an idea of multiple games that are out there available for.
Oh, it's like a publication.
Yes.
Displaying the games that they make that are available.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
This is like previews
it's
by
an
Marvel.
Anthology of different games that are available out there from small publishers.
Okay. So is this like previews by Marvel?
Yes, but they're playable demos.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So it's like the PC Gamer CD back in the day that came with playable demos.
Thank you. Wow. You're taking me back.
Yeah. I used to love getting that every month. And
a couple years ago, I saw a magazine that actually had a CD with it. I imagine they probably provide download codes at this point.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen music. There still are some music magazines that come with CDs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
Yeah.
I do like a physical media sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't like the clutter of a physical media, but I do like a physical media.
Yeah, I like to be able to have it and touch it. And I own it. It's mine. You can't undownload it from me and tell me I can't have it anymore.
Well, wasn't thinking that, but you know, I've enjoyed building my little shelf, my little tiny space of Star Trek anthology sort of comic books, especially the hardcover ones. I do like.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are pretty.
There was
cool.
actually a one shot that is coming out, or that came out this June, called Star Trek Omega, that I'm not sure will be included in any of the collections because it doesn't fall under any of the series.
Okay.
So you might want to go check that out at your local.
If it comes out in hardcover, I'll probably get it. I do so enjoy the
well, it's a one-shot single issue, so it's
maybe it'll be collected somewhere else at some point.
It might be, if they did a collection.
I don't think I'm really into single issue collection anymore because
yeah,
it's where do I start? It's the mountain. There's a mountain. And at this point, I'm better off just like.
Well, that's
I'm
why I like
really more interested in the story than collecting because I have some older
well,
ones.
Well, a one shot is going to be a self-contained story. It's like the trade paperback, but it's only 32 pages long instead of 150 or 200 pages.
Sure.
Long. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
yes.
I also found from Hint Per Pet.
Hint Per Pet.
I also found from Hit Point Press.
Hit Point Press.
A game called Shift, role-playing game basic rules. So it looks like it's a little bit of a family-friendly kind of thing.
Okay.
Maybe some funny
aminals?
Aminals?
Amino acids,
Or just cartoon-like, even humanoid characters.
Sure. What's the basic premise of this game?
It looks like it's a light fantasy type of game. Like I said, most of the characters are drawn in a cartoon kind of style. So it's maybe sort of high fantasy, but not as heavy as, say, Lord of the Rings. Maybe more like, maybe not even at the level of The Hobbit adventure. Maybe more of, I don't know.
Magic Kingdom for sale sold.
Heard of that, but,
it's really good. I think that might be a Terry Brooks book. It's very much along the lines of Peter David's Woe to Wooin type thing, or Magic Kingdom Landover type things. Wait, is that the same series? Hold on, is that the Kingdom of Landover? Oh, yeah, the Kingdom of Landover is Magic Kingdom for sale sold. Now, before I head out of here, and thank you for listening, by the way. There's a little bit of a thing that I haven't told Earl yet because, you know, in a recent episode, we were talking about the upcoming season of Strange New Worlds, and Earl was mentioning that he hadn't found any titles, but I found them all. So if you don't want to hear him, you should fast forward to 30 seconds or so. Of course, episode 1 of season 3 is going to be Hegemony Part 2 because the end of season 2 is Hegemony Part 1. Episode 2 is Wedding Bell Blues. Episode 3 is called Shuttle to Kenfori. Or Kenfori? Not really sure. Episode 4 is A Space Adventure Hour. And episode 5, we go through the lens of time. Episode 6 is the Salat who ate its tail, I think. Episode 7 is What is Starfleet? And then episode 8 is the clip that everyone has been talking so much about, which is 4.5 Vulcans. And then episode 9 is called Terrarium. And finally, for the end of season 3, episode 10, New Life at New Civilizations. Thank you for joining me for this little review of segment 31. If you're already a Patreon subscriber, your reward for listening to this episode as well was to get to the little piece where we talked about all the episode titles. I, for one, am really looking forward to Strange New World Season 3, and that's where we'll be starting the next episode of Let's Talk About Treks, which should be out next Wednesday Eastern Standard Time before about 10 o'clock. That'll be covering Strange New Worlds Season 3, Episode 1. Hegemony Part 2. We'll see you then, and as Earl likes to say, stay positive, dream big, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Support the continued making of this show through patreon.com. Let's Talk About Treks is a production of Anodyne Relay, supported by the Star Trek fan community of listeners like you. We review the copyrighted works of Paramount CBS's Star Trek team, of whom no copyright infringement is intended. You can reach us via email at email@letstalkabouttreks.com. You can leave us a message at area code 202-804-6312. Our producer is David Moody, and our writers, Jack and Earl, are on Twitter as @TrekStalkers, and would greatly appreciate the obligatory like and subscribe from wherever you're listening now. We record on Lenovo computers with Zoom, mix with NCH Mixpad, and master with Kakos Reaper. Our intro, outro, and interstitial musics feature samples from Awakening by Waterboy from Pixabay.